Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together this opening collect. Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. From the book of Revelation, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honour and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. From the Gospel of John, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Sing our first hymn, which is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. As we remain standing, let us say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our loving God commands us to love like him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write your law in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And we confess that we have failed to live up to God's standards. Say together, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, maker of all things, judge of all people, we acknowledge our many sins which we have committed by thought, word, and deed against your divine majesty, provoking most justly your wrath and indignation against us. We earnestly repent and are truly sorry for our sins. The remembrance of them grieves us. The burden of them is intolerable. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. For your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us all that is past, and grant that from now on we serve and please you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who of his great mercy has promised forgiveness of sins, to all those who turn to him with true faith and repentance, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and bring you to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You that truly and earnestly repent of your sins and are in love and harmony with your neighbours and intend to lead a new life, following the commandments of God and walking from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to comfort you. To all that truly turn to him, Jesus says, Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. The Apostle Paul said, this is a true saying and worthy of all people to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle John said, if any person sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or perfect offering for our sins. And the Bible says, therefore we can have peace with God. We are able then to say, we are the body of Christ, his spirit is with us. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
You may like to share that peace with each other.
We can continue that fellowship over a cup of tea after the service, but for now, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
And let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right to do so.
It is very good, right, and our bounden duty that we should, at all times and in all places, give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, everlasting God. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we praise and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High.
Will you join me in this prayer? We
do not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your many and great mercies.
We are not worthy so much to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy.
Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us.
Amen.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, in your tender mercy, you gave your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there a full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world, and he instituted and commands us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. Hear us, merciful Father, and grant that we, receiving this bread and wine, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. For on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen.
Amen.
All who love Jesus may join us at the Lord's table. The small cups contain grape juice or wine. And the bread is gluten-free, and you can stand or kneel to receive communion, and we encourage families to come together.
Let us pray. Father, we who believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and have received these pledges of his love, thank you because you graciously feed us with the spiritual food of his body and blood. By this you assure us of your love and forgiveness, and that we and all your faithful people are true members of his body and of each other in him. Remember your church, which you have purchased by his blood, and gather it in holiness into the kingdom you have prepared for it. Make us faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus and his resurrection, that at his coming we may go out with great joy to meet him and be found worthy to worship you with all your saints forever. Amen. Imogen will now lead us in prayer.
Well, it's the 29th Ordinary Sunday, even though it's the third after Epiphany, and Mark assures me that that's a complicated thing. But I'm not good on the collects, so thank you, Mark. Perhaps you can ask him over morning tea. Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look on our infirmities, and in all our dangers and necessities, stretch out your right hand to help and defend us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God, you say, come and be still before you, which is both a direction and an invitation. But this is so hard for us, Father. We sit here and our minds wander or sort of count through the familiar structures of our church services, plotting out what's next or drift into daydreams. Be still. This is a hard thing. But we want to, Father. We really want to be still so that we can know you. Still so we can listen to you respond as we pour out our thoughts to you in prayer. Still so we can experience the indescribable just being with you, knowing you're close, loving every single bit of our restlessness and our daydream and our erratic selves. So, Father, as we make this deliberate time to come before your throne of grace to offer prayer and petition, we ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to be still. Help us to know you, bone deep know you. Know that you are listening, crouched down, intent, just like a parent to a child, nodding at us, holding us close when we need, being joyful with us at our joys, being wise when we are not, and above all else, being absolutely loving as you listen so intently to us as we come before you. And the first thing we want to do, Father, is praise you. To step away from our own focuses, to see you, to think about your character and your glory. Spurgeon said that your purposes stand as fast as the eternal hills, that your power knows no bounds, your goodness no limit, that you bring order out of chaos and confusion, and our defeats are but your victories. Glory be to you, Father, the Lord Most High, who sits on the throne of heaven, who sits as king forever and ever. And this is such a relief, God, to think on this, to know that you do reign, that you will reign as king above all kings forever, that your rule is absolute and that you are good and trustworthy, faithful and powerful. We thank you for the place you've given us as citizens of your kingdom, for Jesus' death and resurrection, for your Spirit's conviction and saving grace that has rescued each person who calls you Lord. Thank you that this is the only condition, that there's no fear or favour in the criteria to become children of the living God. And we think of the people who have this week chosen to follow you, and it's hard not to laugh out loud at the thought that we've a new adopted siblings, that your family is growing, and that it's a really good thing Jesus was a carpenter, because your house of many rooms is always needing extensions and builders are hard to find. But it's also difficult then not to feel really helpless when we think about the number of people who this week didn't choose to follow Christ. And we think about the places in this world which are so hostile to you. And Father, we pray for your Spirit to blow strongly in these places, for extra measures of faith for your people, for courage and curiosity and opportunity. And we pray for places in your world where the word can be spoken openly, but where there seems to be a spiritual deadness, where your people feel awkward and embarrassed talking about you, where there's no room for you in people's lives because they have everything they need or they think they do, where the lives of believers and non-believers look pretty much the same from the outside. Spirit, come to us. Come to these places and convict us, your people, of the way that you want us to live, and shake the sandy foundation of people who don't know you, so that people may turn to you, turn to the only firm rock, and that Jesus, you know, has to keep expanding those rooms. And as we think about, I don't know, I suppose our own context, and there's a lot of seeming stability and prosperity in comparison with the rest of the world, We also remember that there are people who are hidden from the veneer, who are broken, who are doing it tough. And Lord, we know that your heart is for the vulnerable, for those without a place. We pray for these people, for single parents and foster kids, for people living in institutional care, for people battling substance abuse, for people without a safe home, for people who are panicking at the rising cost of living. And Lord, we fall at our knees sometimes at the thought of the immensity of the physical need just around us. Can you please intervene where you know you can make a difference, or you will make a difference, the micro and the macro. And Spirit, please keep our hearts soft. Your word tells us that we're your hands and feet, and that we get to join you in the work in your world, and that you will give us hearts after your own heart. So please keep them soft as we think about this need and as we meet people who you put in our paths. And right now, Father, then it feels like we've sort of come a full circle as we've prayed and as our minds have canvassed over these things, and perhaps we feel restless and we're overwhelmed and thinking of all the things we can do and should do or haven't done, and or maybe we're wanting to bury our heads a little because it's all a bit much. And it's so hard to hold this tension between immensity of need, spiritual and physical, and the cares that are specific to each one of us, and to remember to be still before you. So remind us, Father, that you've got this, that this is your world, not ours, that we are your creatures, not the creator, that the people we love, well, you love them more, that the blockages and barriers of society that cause inequality and distress, you're not hamstrung by red tape. Remind us that you are more powerful than every single one of our problems, that you are more able to fix this world than we can wrap our minds around, that you are God and we are not. And sometimes it seems like you do things backwards, but you are on the move, and that you are our Father who has just crouched down to our level and locked eyes with us intently as we've talked to you. You have heard us with love in your eyes and a smile on your lips because you love it when your children come to you. Help us be still now, Father, as you speak back to us, because you have invited us into a conversation and not a monologue. Remind us of these things, Holy Spirit, in our hearts now and through the week, as we come to know you more, to love you more, and to hear you more clearly. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let loose the hound.
I hope I'm not the hound of hell. We love to have the spot following the prayers because it reminds us that people we pray for appreciate our prayers. And here's a letter that you may have read already, but it's from the Davies, Sue and Richard Davies. And they are people that we pray for as they minister to the Indigenous people of North Australia. And here's their latest letter that I thought would be encouraging for us to hear. It says, Hi, St. Giles family. We got a real shock when we saw the deposit in our bank account. We do support them financially as well as in prayer, and that's always a great blessing to them. Thank you so much for your generosity. Our Christmas was pretty chaotic. 29 for lunch. The caravan and every bedroom had a family in it. That means 10 adults and 11 children. Extended family members found other accommodation in Cootamundra. We even borrowed a house. Praise the Lord for 3 loos and a swimming pool. The kids had a great time together. Sadly, I, Richard, contracted COVID. I have no idea who generously gave it to me. I got it on the 29th of December, before everyone left, and so was in isolation. It was hard to wave goodbye to Simon, Lydia and Martin without being able to give them a hug. I didn't want to jeopardise their return to New Zealand. Gladly, no one caught it except Sue, who succumbed to after everyone left, and still no one caught it. Sue is almost clear of it, and apart from a bad cold and tiredness, we are fine. The isolation has allowed us to catch up and put the house back to some semblance of order, and I have begun translating again. I finished Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm in the Bible, so that's quite an effort, and am now having a break from Psalms. I've done 36 of them so far, and I'm working on Revelation. Wow, what a book. At the end of January, I, Richard, am flying to Darwin for a 3-day translators conference. It will be good to attend that. I think Sue plans to paint the back bedroom. It's pink and purple, and it's time. The glass spangly chandelier went very soon after we moved in 7 years ago. Some prayer points and praise points and prayer points from them. Praise points, praise God that we didn't become too sick with COVID, that none of our family caught it. That Christmas was the first time in years that all our boys were together under our roof at the same time. That the grandkids got on well. Jonathan 18 had some fun with some of my tools. That Canteen Creek Church is carrying on with ministry. And prayer points for continuing healing after COVID, because we know that the effects of COVID last a little bit longer than we would hope. For house and dog minders during the time between May and early September. That the Canteen Creek Church continues to grow and mature. A group of Canteen Creek people are heading to Nungalinga Bible College in August. And also pray for more Aboriginal leaders to step up and minister to their own people in the AIM centres, that's the Australian Indigenous Ministry Centre. That AIM continues to help those who are ministering in the churches. We ask the Lord to bless you all daily for your faithfulness, and we will visit you before we head back to the Northern Territory. So that shouldn't be too far away. I must remember to put that in the program. Every blessing from Sue and Richard. So let's just spend a short time praying for them as they've asked. We do thank you, Lord, for the blessing that Sue and Richard Davies have been, well, to me personally from many years ago, and continuing fellowship with them through their ministry to you in the Northern Territory and to our Indigenous people. We pray that you will continue to bless them in their ministry, bless them with good health. Thank you for protecting them from more severe complications of COVID. We pray that they might recover fully. We pray that you would bless them as they plan to go back to North Australia. Bless Richard as he travels to that translators conference, and as they go later on to continue their translation work. We pray that you would bless the work that he does, that it would be read by the people, and that they would understand the message in their own language, that they would come to comprehend and understand your truth, your love, your power in their lives. We pray that that would raise up people who, from their own community, who would want to continue to minister to the people in Canteen Creek and broader afield. We just pray, Lord, that you would provide someone to look after their house and dog during the May to early September period. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless the AIM organisation itself as it seeks to find people who would fill the gaps and minister to people in a ministry that not everyone sees as romantic as the other mission organisations that go to different countries like France or Germany or somewhere else. We pray, Lord, that you would raise up Australians to minister to Australians. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take my life and let it be. Robin will now come and read.
The first reading is from James chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, on page 981 of the Bibles provided. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37 on page 793. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Eric.
Sticks and stones can break my bones, but
words can never.
Tell that to the 8.8 million Australians who have experienced cyberbullying. According to a survey done by the ACCC, 44% of women and 34% of men have experienced one or more forms of online harassment. And that statistic doesn't even include the perennial problem of verbal abuse, just one-to-one face-to-face. At least with verbal abuse, you know who is being mean to you. Present-day abusers, called trolls, are cowards who seek the anonymity of the internet. So much for tweeting others as you would tweet yourself. The troublesome tongue now terrorises the territory of terrible text messages. Our sermon series is called Living Under the Lordship of Christ. This means following God's command to love him and to love others, which we heard this morning in our service, as well as following the command of Jesus to love one another as he has loved us. So far, Isaac has talked to us about the wandering eye and our need to live in control. Celia then talked to us about the idle hand and our need to live in service. Next was Jasper, who talked to us about the prideful heart and our need to live in humility. This week, I continue the series by talking about the troublesome tongue and our need to live in truthfulness. Before we unpack that message, let's ask God to help us understand and act on what we hear. Almighty God and Father, again, as always, we pray that you would open our eyes that we may see your truth. Open our minds to understand it, Open our hearts to receive it, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have the wandering eye, the idle hand, the prideful heart, lust, laziness, and lack of humility. We may call these victimless crimes. But nearly every time we open our mouth to speak, someone is either helped or hurt. Imagine if everyone had a needle meter, something analog rather than numbers, digital numbers, it's a needle that moves. Imagine if everyone had a needle meter over their head that registered their response to what you were saying to them. The needle might swing between two extremes of pleasure and pain. Do you dare to consider the impact that your words might have on another human being? I mean, how would that be for you to know and see the impact your words are having on others? Well, Solomon thought about it. He considered it, and he came up with this wonderful statement in Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Marvelous statement. Needle goes all the way over to the good side. If Solomon could have seen one of those sideshow alleys, he might have said that a word fitly spoken is like hitting the strength test plate with a huge mallet and ringing the bell at the top. It's a beautiful thing and quite a rare achievement. James is less optimistic about our ability to control what we say. James 3, 5 and 6, how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. They're strong words, aren't they? About such a small part of our body that we don't even look at. It's one of the things we can see every other part of our body, but we don't think about looking at the tongue that does the most damage. James understands the destructive nature of our words and our struggle to control them. In James 3, 7, for every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Quite the opposite to Solomon's picture of apples of gold in a setting of silver. This is more like Snow White's poisoned apple. Controlling what comes out of our mouths is not an easy task. As it says in James 3, 2, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. Forget about adultery and everything else. If you can keep your mouth under control, you can keep your body under control. So don't beat yourself up about the mistakes that you've made in speaking. You are not Robinson Crusoe in this matter. We are all in the same boat, says James, and it's a sinking boat. The real problem is being blissfully unaware of the pain we inflict with our words. Or worse, being aware of the pain and not caring about who we hurt. So the first step in solving any problem is to acknowledge that we have a problem. Not everything we say is bad, but not everything we say is good either. And it is our inconsistency which drives James to despair. In James 3, verse 9, with our tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God, especially if we're driving in traffic in Sydney. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And the obvious response, my brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Duh. This is not right. Our problem is not that we speak either good words or bad words, but that we speak both good words and bad words. And this was the problem with Israel almost from the beginning. The problem of what they call syncretism, synchromagia, is things that work together. This is the problem of praising God and praising Baal. Both right words and wrong words come from the same mouth. Could it be that we have the same problem? Could it be that we praise God on some occasions, like this morning, while causing God pain with our words at other times, let alone the person that we speak to? We know that God is not fooled by our words, because he knows our hearts. That's what Matthew 15:8 says. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I'm not fooled by the words that come out of their mouth. I know the motivation, says God. We all have a problem with our inconsistent behaviour, especially in our words. And James considers this to be inconceivable, to steal a word from the Princess Bride. This is inconceivable. It's as inconceivable as a stream flowing with both fresh and salt water, brackish water, at the same time. Not like a tidal ebb or flow, but at the same time having both fresh and salt water flowing together. That doesn't happen. It can't happen. It shouldn't happen. It's like a fig tree bearing olives or a grapevine bearing figs. It's unnatural. It's unnatural compared to God's original good creation. But since the fall, it has become our new normal. And that's why we all struggle with it. Why does God give us commandments? Why are they so specific? In those 10 commandments, he seems to hammer the things that we're likely to do wrong. But we come to the 9th commandment and we think, with all the murder and the adultery and dishonouring parents, and the 9th commandment focuses in on our failure to always speak the truth. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. We put that right down sort of towards the back, don't we? That's not important. Not as important as adultery and murder. It's one of the 10 commandments. Many of us were privileged to watch a video series on the 10 commandments by a man named J. John. In his talk on the 9th commandment, he made this great statement. Everything I say needs to be true, but not everything that's true needs to be said. Why can't we simply filter out the hurtful and only say the helpful? Romans 14:19 encourages us to do that. Let us then pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. J. John also included a helpful section on gossip, not on how to do it, but how to avoid it. Gossip is opinion masquerading as truth. If we can't confirm something is true, then we shouldn't repeat it. And even if it is true, do we really need to repeat it? Will it hurt or will it help other people? Sometimes saying sorry is the thing we fall back to. Oh, sorry. Sometimes saying sorry is too little, too late. The damage has already been done. Sometimes we try to excuse what we have said, saying, oh, I didn't mean it. It just slipped out. Remember, one of our teachers at school would always say, things that slip out of your mind are things that are on the edge of your consciousness. So we are actually then thinking these things before we say them. And that's where the problem begins. Jesus says in Matthew 12 from verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. So how do we change the content, that treasure of our heart? Well, we ask God for help. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. The solution involves building up a treasure of good things in our minds so that what spills over, what just slips out, can only be words that bring about good. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Fill your mind with those things so that whatever overflows or slips out will be good, and praiseworthy and excellent and honourable and helpful." Does all this really matter? I mean, with all the things going on in the world and murder and rape and terrible things, wars, and here we are talking about saying a few things that might upset someone. Does it really matter? Well, yes. According to Matthew 12, it matters a lot. Matthew 12:36, we heard read, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned." And that's scary, isn't it? Apart from challenging our behaviour, these words from Jesus might challenge our belief in justification by faith alone, the thing we stand firm on. This sounds more like justification by works, or in this case, justification by words. How can this be true? How can this be in the Bible? We know that Judgment Day will confirm that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, all of us, that all deserve God's judgment. But in reality, we are all condemned already because of the things we have said and done, not to mention the things that we failed to say and do. But as Christians, we know that Jesus came to this world, lived and died and rose again. He has stepped in and taken the punishment that we deserve for all those things, all those failures. For those who put their faith in Jesus, the Bible says there is no condemnation. We're in the law court, we're condemned as guilty, but that punishment having already been paid doesn't have to fall on us anymore. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because the penalty has already been paid. Jesus paid that on the cross. But that doesn't mean that we can say and do whatever we like from now on. When we trust in Jesus, our goal is to become more like him, to conform to his image, to love like him, to forgive like him, to speak the truth in love like him. People will know that we are the disciples of Jesus by the way we live like him. Jesus is not only our Saviour, he is our Lord, which means we follow his commands and we try to live the way he wants us to live. What better time than the start of a new year to remind ourselves to live under the Lordship of Christ in everything we say and do? The Bible's focus on telling the truth is magnified when it comes to sharing the gospel of Jesus, and even more so when it comes to teachers who teach God's people about faith in Christ. I wonder if you noticed that this is the context for the words of James in chapter 3 of his letter. Remember how James begins chapter 3? "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And everything that follows, the destructive nature of the tongue, which is a restless evil full of deadly poison, is actually aimed at false teachers who try to lead God's people astray. That's why it's so dangerous and poisonous, because it has eternal consequence, not just that you've said something mean to someone, but that you've led someone away from Christ with your false teaching. It is aimed at would-be church leaders who have become like the Pharisees, of whom Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, 'You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil?' Because of the problem we have with truthfulness, even Christians should evaluate what they are hearing from preachers and not just assume that it's true." It's the problem we have with the internet. People look at the internet as if it's everything's true that you read, and it's not. Not even Paul was immune from such scrutiny back in the early days. Acts 17:11 tells us that the Berean Christians were more receptive than those in Thessalonica, for they welcomed the message very eagerly and examined the scriptures every day to see whether these things were so. They weren't just going to take Paul's word for it. They're going to check out to see if it was true. And then they would believe it. We are not only to speak the truth, but we are also to seek the truth. So sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's just not true. It's not true. Words are incredibly powerful. We know that. They're powerful for good and they're powerful for evil. We begin this year as forgiven sinners, as people who struggle with our words. We begin this year seeking God's help as we follow the example of our Lord, seeking to live under his lordship. So let us ask God to remove the blinkers from our eyes which prevent us from seeing the pain and the damage that our careless words inflict. Let us ask God for the wisdom we need to better handle the truth and to present it clearly. Let us fill our minds with good things so that the good words may flow from us to other people. Let us dare to consider the impact of our words on other people, knowing that nearly every time we open our mouth to speak, someone is either hurt or helped. Let's pray. And my prayer is that God will strengthen our resolve to live under the lordship of Christ in everything we do, including and perhaps specifically in everything we say.
May the mind of Christ my Saviour, the words, the opening words of the next hymn.
Please take a seat. A couple of notices. The annual general meeting is coming up in March, 5th of March, first Sunday in March. We have to give a month's notice at least. So we thought we'd start advertising now. We'll put it on the window for the public to see. And as usual, if you want to have a motion dealt with at that meeting, you need to hand it in to us sometime prior to that date, and that would be good and helpful. And we'll see how that goes. Now, in between, in February, I'll be on long service leave, and we are having what we did last time I went on long service leave. We have four guest preachers from North Sydney for the young fellows coming along to continue their series in Mark, which was on the Jesus, the Coming King, the King Has Come series. And so they'll be continuing that, and it's a great encouragement. Jeremy Fox will be back to be part of that series as well. Some of them people we know, and some of them are new guys. So be an encouragement to them and help them as they continue to train in their ability to spread the word and to teach God's people. We have our own prayer course that we've been looking at, and hopefully keep hearing from people how much they've been enjoying it. So I hope you do find it on our website. And have a look at the videos, because our Bible study groups will launch, not this week coming, but after that, we'll launch into continuing that series, I think on week number five. And then we'll go into the second one when I get back in March, I think. And so that will be good. Also, we have, speaking of prayer, the prayer guide for 2023 is out for those who like that. You'll also find that in digital form on the website. And the connect cards are there in your seats to remind you if you need to communicate any information to us, you can use that card to do so. Just checking whose birthdays there are. Ah, we've got to remember to take a photo next time. Yep. That's all right. What do we want to do at one point is to get Russ to come with his camera. He's telling us how good a photographer he is all the time, so we're going to put him to the test. Yep. We're going to. That's all right. We want to try and get everyone to stand here under the stained glass window, take a photo, so that we can send it to Graham Lowther for his 90th birthday. And I thought that would cheer him up and make him remember a lot of things. So maybe next week, if we can remember. Speaking of next week, it'll be communion again. It's a fifth Sunday, but because I'm going to be away for 3 weeks in a row, three Sundays where it'll be morning prayer, we'll have two communions in a row now. and I'll come back for the fourth Sunday and we'll do communion again then. So it'll be communion next week, three morning prayers, and then a final communion. All right. Is there any other notices people need to give? Yes.
New rosters are out there.
New rosters are out the back there, so if you're on that roster, make sure you check that out. Let us know if you can't make it, so that we can, hopefully if you can arrange someone else, that's good. Otherwise, one of us will step in. And I think that seems to be it. So great to see you all here this morning. It's a wonderful feeling for anyone to be at the front looking down on a crowd of faces. And we hope that you'll be able to share with us over morning tea at the end. So let's stand then as we have this blessing together. And then we'll go out for morning tea. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Join us for morning tea.